A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 29. Ruyot. Din woke up alone. He reached sleepily for the warmth of Boba's body and found only cool sheets, a frown forming before Din had even woken all the way up. Then he came awake, sitting bolt upright, snapping his gaze around the room. Boba's not here. The room was empty. The sheer curtains blew gently in the breeze. The work table had been reorganized, its usual untidy heap of data pads and holofiles straightened up. Boba's careful pile of armor, which had been stacked neatly by the work table, was gone. Din's armor was still where he'd left it, though, Beskar gleaming in the early morning sun. Its visor stared impassively at Din. So he probably wasn't kidnapped, Din thought. Beskar was worth a lot of credits. If someone had come here to hurt Boba, they would have put a plasma bolt between Din's eyes and snatched his armor, too. Din dragged a hand through his hair. Faint sparkles of pain flickered where he skimmed past the places Boba had grabbed and pulled. Did I really sleep through Boba getting up for the day? Din was not a heavy sleeper. The first few months he'd had Grogu living with him on the Razor Crest, Din had startled awake at every tiny snore and snuffle. Even sleeping in his room, two floors beneath Boba's, Din usually woke if the turbolift creaked by on its way up or down the tower. Putting Beskar on wasn't quiet. Neither was Boba in the mornings. Nothing Boba ever did could be described as clumsy, but he still made noise when he moved around. Din had spent enough of his own mornings up here in Boba's rooms to know that. Boba's sonic would hum, or his fresher sink would splutter, or the lift would chime as it delivered something from the kitchens. That Din had slept through all of that. Boba worked me over, Din thought. He rubbed his jaw where he could feel a thumb-shaped bruise hiding behind his beard. Pleasant soreness lingered in his muscles, along with a deeper, less pleasant ache in his belly that Din knew would bloom into true pain when he started to move around. Din took another glance around the room, making sure he was alone, then gave in to his curiosity and looked himself over. Din's side was tacky with Bacta, but his wound looked good. He had accumulated a few random bruises he couldn't immediately source. But, he thought, studying himself, I know where most of these came from. The faint bruises on his knees had come from kneeling. The soreness around his throat had come from the Deveronian's hand. A dark blue bruise underneath one rib had been left by one of Boba's sharper kisses. Din let his eyes drift farther down. His wrists and his ankles were faintly marked. Din was surprised. The Wishak silk had felt like Beskar when Din had fought and pulled against it. Din had thought that it would leave deep, dark bruises. But the marks left by the silk were so faint that Din almost didn't notice them. He only saw them because he was looking, because he expected to see the evidence. There were bands of red wrapped around each wrist and ankle, and when Din carefully pressed the pads of his fingers to his right wrist, he could feel pain. Could feel the silk pressing into his skin like a memory. But when he took his fingers away, his wrist looked almost normal. Unbelievable, he thought. He repeated the process with his other wrist, then with both ankles. Each time he pressed down on the faint lines, pain flickered and lodged itself low in Din's belly. Din bit his lip, embarrassed and not sure why. He was alone, after all. But slid his hands a little higher. Boba had pressed kisses and bites and little blue bruises from Din's collarbone to the tops of his thighs. Seeing them in the sunlight, the evidence of how close Boba and Din had gotten, of how close Din had let Boba get, made Din color even though he was alone. No one has ever kissed me here, Din thought, pressing a thumb to the mark Boba had left on Din's inner thigh when he'd nipped at Din to make them even. No one else but Boba had ever kissed Din at all, really. Din had pressed his helmet together with Paz and Annika both before, when they'd been teenagers fumbling around in the covert. But as intimate as Amir Shmoresha could be, it was different than this. Omera had pressed a kiss to the hard ridge of Din's cheek once on Sorgan. She and Din had gotten pretty close during those calm weeks Din had spent on Sorgan watching the kid chase frogs. When she'd kissed him, Din had been wearing his helmet, but that hadn't stopped her. The kiss had been quick, almost rote. Din had thought at the time that Omera had been just as surprised by what she'd done as Din had. When Din had frozen, she'd pulled away and gone about the rest of her day like nothing had happened. Neither of them had mentioned it again. That wasn't anything like this. Boba at least understood the significance of Amirish Moratia, what it meant for one Mandalorian to be that close to another. Omera hadn't. Boba knew now that Din had never... that Boba had been the only person to kiss Din anywhere. Din's mouth, his neck, his collarbone, his thigh. Boba was the only being who'd ever had Din's cock in his mouth. Din's blush deepened. He thumbed the little bruise on his thigh again and made himself examine what he'd been avoiding. His cock was fine. It didn't look any different, wasn't bruised or sore or somehow marked by Boba's mouth. Din didn't touch himself. He knew that he could if he wanted to, but... but it feels... obscene, Din thought, cheeks hot with embarrassment. Indulgent. He curled his hand over his thigh, pressing down hard on the bite bruise to give himself something to hold on to. He made himself keep looking. Boba hadn't left any marks on Din's cock, despite the faint grazes of his teeth as he'd swallowed around Din. But he had left a mark on Din's balls. Din had been kicked in the groin before. His armor didn't have a codpiece like Boba's did. Plenty of bounties had gone for Din there because they'd thought he'd curl up, fold over, let them get away. It hadn't ever worked, though it had always hurt. Din had had bruised balls before. Swollen skin, pain and tenderness, some nausea. This is different, too, Din thought, swallowing. Boba's grip here, on the most vulnerable part of Din's body, had been tight enough to break the blood vessels in the thin skin around Din's scrotum. The resulting bruise wasn't terrible, wasn't black or even a particularly violent shade of blue, but it was red and green and swollen, and when Din prodded at the injury experimentally, his stomach swooped, pain and nausea and remembered arousal tangled and twisted together, rising in a confusing blur of sensation and feeling. Din took his hand away, his breath coming in shallow and short. No, he told himself sternly. No, I shouldn't. I can't. Shouldn't what? Murmured a voice in Din's head that sounded a bit like Boba. Enjoy yourself? Din shuddered and hung onto his thigh, pressing that bite bruise even deeper. The pain expanded. It was indulgent. It wasn't... this wasn't pain for the sake of pain, or pain to help Din focus. There was nothing to focus on up here in Boba's rooms. The business of the day hadn't started yet, and Din wanted to stay up here wrapped in the haze of sleep and Boba's scent, in the memory of Boba's hand on him, around him. Faint guilt flickered in Din's gut. There was work to be done. Just because Din was up here didn't mean that the rest of the palace had ground to a halt. Didn't mean that the rest of the galaxy had stopped spinning. But the mounting pain from where Din was pushing down on his thigh drowned out that guilt, swallowed up Din's lingering embarrassment, tested the last dregs of his resolve. If he moved his hand just a little higher... The turbolift let out its familiar, creaky chime, and Din snatched his hand back to his chest like he'd been burned. Boba's bed wasn't visible from the lift. A safety measure, Din supposed. Boba had probably wanted even a few seconds of warning in case somebody tried to attack him while he was in bed. Those few seconds gave Din the time to pull his hands away from his bruises and to lean back in bed, but not to either pretend that he was still asleep or make a run for it. He felt his cheeks redden again, heat flushing through him. Fortunately, it was just Boba who rounded the side of the pillar, a tray balanced in his hands. When he saw that Din was awake, his face fell a little. But before Din could parse that, Boba was looking him up and down and nodding. "Alive, then?" Boba asked. He balanced the tray, which was laden with food and two steaming mugs, with one hand, and used the other to offer Din one of the mugs. Steam curled over its edges. Din accepted, shifting a little so he could tug one end of the sheet up to cover himself. He brought the mug to his nose and inhaled. The familiar scent of Mayam filled his nose, woke him up a little more. Alive, Din confirmed. He still felt the flush in his cheeks, but Boba didn't comment on it. Din was grateful. Hungry? Boba asked. Din thought about it. Not yet, he said. Boba hummed and turned around briefly to drop the tray of food off at his work table before returning, kicking his boots off while he padded over, a mug in his own hand. Boba hadn't worn his helmet out, but he'd put on his cuirass and his boots, had strapped a blaster to his hip. Din couldn't blame him. The palace had only been attacked yesterday, after all. Din was sure almost everyone still in the palace was going around armed. I didn't mean to wake you, Boba said, levering himself back up into bed with Din. Din let him, quietly pleased to have Boba's body back within reach of his own. You didn't, Din assured him. I woke up on my own. It's getting light out. Din was still surprised that Boba had managed to dress himself without waking Din up. I must have been more tired than I thought. The last cycle had been exhausting, between the attack on the palace, fighting off Gorga's mercs, going up to the light cruiser, and trying to understand Bo-Katan. Thinking of the light cruiser, what Kreez had asked of Din, made Din frown. He pushed thoughts of her and her people away. They didn't have a place here, in Boba's bed. I wanted to surprise you, Boba said gruffly. He took a sip of his own drink, probably black calf, and ignored Din, who was staring at him in quiet shock. You wanted to surprise me, Din said. With food? Boba shrugged, one-shouldered. Seemed like a good idea at the time, he said, offering Din a crooked smile. And I had some things to check up on, but didn't want to wake you, so... He shrugged again. And that was when Din realized that Boba was nervous. Din stared at him for another moment, eyes wide, and remembered his manners. Thank you, said Din quietly, taking another sip of his tea. I appreciate it. He tried not to show how touched, Din thought. How touched he was, the feeling fluttered behind his ribcage. No one had ever brought Din first meal in bed before. Food in the covert was by necessity private. If it wasn't something that could be drunk through a straw, everyone would come by, pick up their food, and go off to eat alone. The warriors in charge of a specific meal would cook for everyone and leave food out until it was gone. Din curled his fingers tighter over the edge of his mug. It was warm, and helpless affection was blooming in Din's chest, unfurling like a mala'ai unfolded in the light of the moons. If Boba saw, he didn't say anything. Boba wasn't the type to blush, not like Din was. Din had never needed to hide his reactions before he'd met Boba. If someone had embarrassed Din, he'd been fine to blush underneath his helmet. No one had even known about it. Now that he wasn't wearing his helmet all the time, Din knew he should probably try harder to get his expressions, his reaction to Boba's teasing, under control. But he hadn't managed it yet. Boba had more practice going around unmasked. He didn't show embarrassment. But he wasn't meeting Din's eyes either, studiously sipping from his own mug. The affection in Din's chest grew. You had other business? Din finally asked, trying to spare them both from further embarrassment. He knew that he should probably get up and find a pair of pants, at least. Din was still naked, though he'd pulled Boba's sheets across his lap, and Boba was fully dressed. Just checking on a few things, Boba confirmed, taking the black tie Din had tossed him with both hands. Boba settled deeper into the bed, and Din felt him relax. He had to hide a smile into his tea. Boba was nervous, Din thought. That settled his own unease a little, soothed Din's own keen embarrassment. This is new for Boba, too, he reminded himself. Boba had told him as much last night. This companionship was as new for Boba as it was for Din. At least we're on even footing for once, thought Din wryly. Boba had had Din on the back foot for most of the time they'd known each other. Din hadn't minded, really, aware that the way Din had grown up, the life he'd lived, was strange to others. But still. How's the palace? Din asked. He hadn't heard any explosions or more violence, which he hoped meant that the huts hadn't come back overnight. Standing, Boba reported. He took another swallow of calf and grimaced. Gorga's Shebrushine didn't do too much damage to the palace itself. If that cruiser of yours hadn't picked off those ships, we might be telling a different story, but the palace itself is fine. Din hid a grimace of his own into his mug at the mention of the light cruiser. He didn't want to talk about Kree's. The outfit itself's gonna keep standing, too, Boba continued. We lost a few guards. More of us took some injuries. Din nodded. Nura had filled him in. Who was killed? Din asked. Two of the newer boys, Boba said. Siddiq and Mako. You know? Din shook his head. And Zero, Boba said. That got a wince out of Din. He hadn't known Zero very well. Zero had preferred the company of his droid A2 and hadn't mingled much with the rest of the outfit, but he'd been with Boba since the beginning. Din had run a job or two with Zero. They'd taken Geeta home together once. He'd been all right, for a man who loved a droid as much as Zero had loved A2. How's A2 taking it? Din asked. Boba shrugged tiredly. A2 took a pretty good hit, he said. They were ambushed, clearing out the east wing of the palace. The droid can come back from quite a bit, but all hands are helping on the injured. I don't have too many mechanics around. Din winced again to hear that Zero and A2 hadn't died in the initial battle, but had been jumped trying to secure the palace, while Din had been on his way up to the light cruiser, but there was nothing Din could do about that now. I should have been here, he thought. I should have helped. But he also owed Kreese his loyalty. He owed her, not as much as he owed Boba, maybe. But Kreese had helped Din rescue Grogu. She'd helped him defeat Gideon. But we'd just been attacked. Boba had told Din to go and see what Kreese wanted, but had that been a mistake? Should Din have stayed here? He had armor that could turn aside a blaster if Din had been securing the palace instead of Zero. That's the worst of it, though, said Boba. He dragged a hand down his scarred face. Theron took a pretty good shot through the shoulder, but he's gonna live. Kasik got a broken paw. You got hurt. There's plenty of grazes and scrapes to go around, too, but I've been stockpiling Bacta. Everyone who took a hit ought to be all right with enough time. How's Fennec? Din asked. Boba grimaced. Out cold when I stuck my head in to check on her, he said, but Ushib thinks she's gonna be fine. Din let out a relieved breath at that. Fennec was Boba's right hand. She ran half the outfit. If she'd been killed... And she's my friend, Din thought. He liked Fennec. She was a good friend. Blunt and straightforward, yes, and Din wasn't sure he liked how much Fennec knew about what Din got up to with Boba, how Din felt about Boba. But so far, Fennec had held her silence. She warned me about Boba and his father to protect me, Din reminded himself. And to protect Boba, too. That's her job. Doing her job had been how Fennec had gotten hurt in the first place. She'd thrown herself into the fight in the throne room without hesitation, despite the fact that she wasn't Mandalorian. Fennec's armor was Katarn-grade plastoid, but it was still plastoid. Not Beskar or Durasteel or even scavenged bronzium. Ushib said she's gonna be fine, Boba repeated, picking up on Din's concern. And Ushib's the one who had to put Fennec back together after that Calican kid got blaster happy. Ushib's the one who put me back together when anybody else with sense would have left me for carrion. If she says Fennec's gonna be fine, she's gonna be fine. Boba was trying to convince himself of that, too. Din could hear it in his voice. So Din just nodded, finishing the last of his tea, grimacing through the Maratha dregs at the bottom of the cup. Boba mirrored Din, finishing his own calf, and held a hand out for Din's mug. Din gave it over, eyeing Boba. And the rest of the palace? Din prodded gently, trying to ask about Zhaig and Strill and Paz and the foundlings without having to ask Boba directly. Zhaig had come out to fight alongside Boba and Din, which meant, Din hoped, that the rest of them had felt secure enough in their wing of the palace to let Zhaig leave. If Paz hadn't felt safe, he wouldn't have let Zhaig go fight. Boba understood. The Verdict Air fine, he reported. Strill was on guard when I went by. She wouldn't let me in to see the others. Vizsla's up and about and being a Raju. Ouch, said Boba, tone dry, as Din leaned across the space between them to flick Boba behind the ear, like Boba had done to him last night. Din glared, unrepentant. Paz isn't a Raju, he said sternly. The word was Tushgra and extremely impolite. He's just gruff, that's all. Boba snorted. If you say so. But he's up and moving around, I think, which is why he's got Strill playing Rusalor and keeping everyone out. That's good, Din muttered, retreating back to his half of the bed. That was good. After how sick Paz had been, Din was relieved that he was on his feet again. That he still had 2 feet to stand on. Speaking of Verdike, what did Kreese want? Boba asked. His expression was carefully neutral. He probably didn't want to get flicked again, but his eyes were sharp. Din grimaced. It's... He stopped. Din wasn't sure that Boba wanted to hear what Kreese had told Din. That Mandalorians were gathering. That Kreese was seeking vengeance against what was left of the Empire. That she told me to be there, he thought, but didn't mention you at all. Din had enough pieces of Mandalore's history now to know that if Kreese was making a move to try and reunite what was left of Mandalore's people, she wouldn't want Boba around. Boba had never come out and said it outright, that his father had been the Mandalore, but Din could listen between heartbeats. He could fill in the gaps of Boba's story. Boba had told Din about the Mandalorian civil wars, the first fought and won by Jaster Mareel, Boba's father's father, that had ended with Death Watch exiled from the Mandalore sector, and the second, fought by Jango Fett and won by no one at all. The neutral Mandalorian, Satine Kreese and her like, had picked up what was left and settled into pacifism in Sindari. But the fighting Mandalorians, Jango's people, and Death Watch, neither of them won. Jango had defeated Tor Vizsla, Death Watch had been scattered, their strength temporarily broken. But so had the strength of the true Mandalorians. Jango had left Mandalore behind, and his supporters had either scattered across the galaxy or folded themselves, however uncomfortably, into life underneath Satine Kreese. Boba had said that some of them had renounced their warrior ways, had even given up their Beskar Gam, which was unthinkable to Din. And some of them had either carved out a traditional Mandalorian life somewhere else on the planet, in the wilds north of Sindari, or had left the system entirely to be Mandalorian elsewhere. But Jango Fett was the Mandalore, Din thought, or he was close to being one for a while. He'd been the Allure of the true Mandalorians anyway, just like Jaster Mareel had been. Kreese won't want Boba around. Din knew that instinctively. If Kreese was rallying her old supporters, the ones who'd made her Duchess of Mandalore, and if she was even rallying what was left of Din's people, who'd never taken a singular leader but might just be swayed to follow Kreese if it meant revenge against the Empire, she wouldn't want Boba there. He isn't one of her Tal Vorde. He hasn't sworn himself to her quest like I have. Din owed Kreese because she'd helped him defeat a bitter enemy, because she'd helped him save his son. But she hadn't done anything for Boba. His loyalties weren't tied to Bo-Katan Kreese at all. He's a threat to her. Din shivered a little, feeling pulled in two directions at once. Boba saw him and reached out, a little frown forming between his eyes. His hand, when it fell on Din's knee, was warm. Din jumped a little anyway, the sensation of skin on skin still foreign enough to startle him. What did she want? Boba repeated, his eyes searching Din's face. Din grimaced. What is it? Boba pressed. It's nothing, Din said. He tried to smooth his expression out into blank neutrality. He offered Boba a lopsided smile. It's just politics, It's not just politics, Boba interrupted, his frown deepening. It upsets you. It doesn't, Din disagreed, even though it did. Trying to wrap his head around what Kreese wanted, trying to imagine helping her get what she wanted, helping Kreese take her vengeance on the Imperial remnants and end up with a throne when she was finished, was difficult, almost impossible. The idea of it sat like a stone in Din's belly. He grimaced again. That, said Boba, watching Din intently. What's that? Din scowled. It's nothing. He said. Boba's expression sharpened. Is it? He pressed. We came up with some rules not a full cycle ago, Jerrica. Throwing them out already? That made Din wince again, guilt flickering in his belly, and across his face if the way Boba's eyes were tracking him was any indication, and he scowled harder. Boba let him struggle for a minute. Fine, Din growled, looking past Boba. It's... Boba held up a hand. Is it something, he said, that you want me to know but can't talk about? Din paused. We agreed to tell each other if we hit something we couldn't be honest about, he remembered. Din knew that that rule was more for Din's benefit than Boba's. Boba had been honest. He'd never struggled to tell Din anything as far as Din could tell. It was Din who kept running up against other things, against his creed, other loyalties. Din took a careful breath. It's not something I need to keep from Boba, he thought. Din might prefer to keep this guilt, this sense of shame to himself. It wasn't something he wanted Boba to worry about. But it's not a secret, and it's not something I'm keeping to myself to protect anyone. I can talk about it, Din said slowly. He grimaced. I just don't really want to. Boba snorted. I understand, he said in his deep, slow voice. And Din knew that Boba was telling the truth. He understood. He did. He told me about the Sarlacc, Din thought. About his father, about himself. I can do this, too. Can we talk about it later? Din asked. He looked at Boba again. The frown creasing Boba's forehead had eased a little, but was still there, marring his face. Later? Din nodded. He resisted the urge to twist his fingers into the sheets and betray his nervousness. We can talk about it later, Boba said slowly. He grimaced too. What Kreese wanted is that bad, is it? It's not bad, Din said. It's just... She wants me to do something for her, he said, trying to keep the terms as vague as possible. And I owe her my loyalty. It's just not something that I want to do. And, he added, thinking of what Kreese had asked of him, it's something I need to talk to Paz about first. Boba stilled. She wants you, he said, to ask something of your tribe. Reluctantly, Din nodded. Your tribe, Boba continued, frowning hard again. Who wants to kill you? Because you're Darmanda. Din nodded again. He didn't really like the way that Boba had said that. Din didn't think that he was Darmanda. He was Darmanda. What Din thought about it had little to do with it. Paz won't be able to manage it, Din pointed out. He pressed a hand to his injured side. Even like this, I can take him. But I told Kreese that I'd ask, he said, stopping himself. Din sighed. A headache was beginning to form at the back of his head, throbbing from the place where the Dark Trooper had injured him. Din dragged a hand down his face. I'm sorry, he felt compelled to add. Boba's fierce expression eased. Sorry for what? Din gestured vaguely out from his chest. For ruining a nice morning with talk of Bo-Katan Kreese, I guess, he said, aiming for Rye. Boba snorted. It's not your fault she's got a Sarlacc's appetite, he said. I can guess what she wants from you well enough, Jerrica. It's fine, we can talk later if you want. After you've talked to your brother. He isn't my brother anymore, Din thought, stomach twisting. He did give in to his nerves then, tangling his fingers in the sheets, hanging on tight. He wished, abruptly, for the Wishhawk silk again. It had been terrifying, a little, to be held down like that, to be restrained without any chance of getting free. But it had been good, too. Once Din had stopped fighting it, it had been good. It had been something to endure, something to hang on to. The joints in Din's weak hand creaked altogether. Pain flickered behind his eyes. Hey, said Boba softly, reaching out to catch Din's left hand by the wrist. His fingers were warm there, too, and encircled Din's wrist in Boba's solid strength. Din still resisted a little as Boba tugged on him, but there was no arguing with Boba, not like this. Boba had pried Din's left hand free, turned it over, pressed his thumb into Din's palm. "This is gonna hurt a little," Boba warned. His eyes were dark and serious. Din shrugged. "It can hurt," he said, half wary and half curious. That made a very faint, very fond smile flicker across Boba's face. He pressed down with his thumb harder. He pressed until Din hissed, the pressure morphing into a dull ache, then a deep, true pain. "I know," Boba said, though he didn't let up. "Just a bit more." The edge of his thumbnail dug into the meat of Din's palm. Din gritted his teeth and bore it. He bore it for half a minute, more. He bore it until Din was sure that if Boba pressed any harder, he'd snap the small bones in Din's hand, would grind them to dust as fine as sand. And then... "My headache," Din said, surprised. His voice was rougher than it had been, but not the hoarse, scratching cry it had been last night. Boba smiled. "Better," he said, letting up. He didn't give Din his hand back, but he let Din flex his fingers. Din nodded, still surprised. The space between his thumb and forefinger throbbed, but his headache had eased. It wasn't entirely gone, but it was much more manageable. "Good," said Boba, sounding satisfied. He softened. "Orijate," he added. Din looked away, even as a preening warmth filled his chest. "We both agreed to those rules," Boba continued. "And you're doing what you agreed to do. So, orijate." "You don't need to praise me for telling the truth," Din muttered, his jaw working. "Maybe not," said Boba, his tone deliberately light. "But maybe I want to reward good behavior, huh? Encourage open communication." Din couldn't help but snort at that. "Hey," said Boba, spreading his hands. "I'm all about communication. It's what makes me such an effective boss." Now I know he's trying to tease me, Din thought, but he couldn't help but smile anyway. Guilt flickered faint underneath Din's ribs, dampening the warmth left by Boba's praise. "He's still trying to tease me after everything. After Din had lied to him about being Mandalorian, after their argument on the Huntress, their argument in this room, Boba was still trying to make Din smile. I'm not sure I deserve it, Din thought. I'm Darmanda, and if Kreese gets her way, I might..." He stopped himself forcefully. Whatever was going to happen with Kreese's council on Cronest was going to happen. Din couldn't change her from here, and he couldn't change that he'd been Darmanda for months and hadn't told Boba. "The past is the past," Din reminded himself. "The only thing to do is keep going forward, to try to do better." Boba took Din's smile as a victory, grinning briefly back, before he let his arms fall and a more pensive expression crept back over his face. Boba went back to studying Din intently. "That's all that's bothering you," Boba prompted. "Just Kreese?" That made Din want to scowl again, though he held off. Boba, of course, caught it anyway. "It isn't all that's bothering you," Boba realized. Din did scowl then, caught out. "What are you?" he grumbled. "A Jedi?" Boba huffed a laugh. "Not at all," he said. "I'm about as Force-sensitive as a forest slug." Din looked at Boba quizzically. "Means I can't touch the Force at all," Boba clarified. "It's not a skill I have, or one I particularly care to have." "Oh," said Din, understanding. The Force was what gave the Jedi their powers. If Boba couldn't use the Force, he wasn't a Jedi. Din eyed Boba, still faintly suspicious. "You always seem to know what I'm thinking," he explained. Boba gave Din another crooked smile. "I know you," Boba said. "And even when I didn't know you, you weren't that hard to read, Jerrica. You're Uribusha, Orikarta. Din's ears pricked up. You've said that before, Din said. What does it mean? Boba's smile was a little wider, a little more genuine. When he reached out again, he didn't take Din's wrist or his hand, didn't grab Din by the knee. Boba set his hand on Din's chest, above Din's heart. The words mean all bucket, he explained, all heart. It means you wear your heart like you wear your armor, out for everyone to see. Oh, Din said again, not sure what else he could say. His ears burned a little. Din was embarrassed and not sure why. Maybe because he means it, Din thought. Boba meant what he said. Din could hear his sincerity, his conviction. It's not a bad thing, Boba assured him, eyes turned up at the corners. Din's heart beat against Boba's fingertips. Din swallowed. Maybe, Din admitted, a little grudgingly. It's just not something I'm used to, I guess. Beskar is hard to read, Boba agreed. He pulled his hand away and gestured at Din. It never changes. Well, he said, what's bothering you? You looked like you felt guilty about something. Din eyed Boba again. He's got to be a Jedi, he thought. He's got to be able to read my mind. But Din had always had his armor to hide behind. Din's helmet was inscrutable. Its expression never wavered. Din's covert had communicated with words or with their bodies, with the positions of their hands, their shoulders, because the expression on their helmets never shifted. Guilty, Din repeated. Boba watched him, his own expression schooled into something more neutral. He's had a lot of practice, Din thought, trying not to be jealous of how easy it was for Boba to control his expression, how he shifted from open and warm to coolly distant in seconds. Din took a breath. Is it another thing? Boba said, gently enough that Din couldn't help but bristle, feeling coddled. That you can't be honest about? That you want me to drop? Din looked over at him, startled again. We did agree last night, Boba pointed out. He didn't look happy about that, but he was right. They had agreed. Din had told Boba that he'd trust him to drop a topic Din couldn't be honest about. It's not that, Din said, trying to figure out how to say what he felt, to give words to the guilt still writhing in his belly like a dune worm in the sand. Then what is it? Boba pressed. Din took another breath. I just need to say it, he thought. I just need to get it out. I do still feel guilty, Din said. He stumbled over the words a little, but he meant them. They were true. He made himself look at Boba again. Boba frowned. For what? He asked. For being Darmanda? No, well, yes, Din admitted, because he was going to feel the guilt of that, the shame of it, cold in his gut, for the rest of his life. But not for being Darmanda, really. Din had made his peace with it. He'd had to make his peace with it. There was no way to live with it if Din hadn't made his peace. He was not walking the way of the Wurruk. He wasn't mad or cruel or Oridush. He was Darmanda, but Din was still himself. I've put it to rest, Din finally said. He couldn't look Boba in the eye anymore and had to look at Boba's nose instead, which was a little surprising. Din had been able to look Boba in the eye for weeks now. I've put it to rest, Din repeated with a little more strength. It's all of this talking I've had to do about it, Din said, smiling ruefully, has made me understand why I did it. Broke my creed, I mean. I don't regret it. But you still feel guilty, Boba said. He was not smiling. Not for breaking the creed, Din clarified. He studied the bridge of Boba's nose, the web of acid scars. But for not telling you. Sooner, I mean. Din, Boba began. We've gone over this. It's... I know, Din interrupted. He flicked his eyes up to meet Boba's and had to look away again. The intensity of feeling in Boba's eyes was almost too much. too deep. A feeling so wide and vast that Din would drown in it if he stepped over the edge. "I know," Din said. It's the past. We can't change it. But I still..." Din trailed off, not sure what he wanted to say, not even sure what he wanted. Boba was quiet for several seconds. Din felt each one, his heart banging against his ribcage. He curled his fingers in the sheets again to give them something to do. "Ruyot," Boba finally said. It was a soft word as far as Mandoa went. "The past," Boba translated. "That's the word for the past. Ruyot, what has already happened." "Ruyot," Din repeated dutifully. The word had a bit of weight to it. Din liked how it felt in his mouth, even as guilt prickled in his chest and Strill's admonition washed over him. "It's the past," Din said. "We can't change what I didn't say, but I still feel guilty." "Why?" Boba asked. There was no recrimination in his voice, none in his face, which Din appreciated more than he had words to say. Because I had plenty of opportunities," Din said. There were 50 times I could have told you, and any one of them would have been better than when I actually told you." Boba chuckled, hoarse and dry. "We didn't have the best timing for that argument, no," he said. "But it was..." "Those weren't the best circumstances for anything," he said. "You were worried about Vizsla. I get it." Din curled his fingers tighter in the sheets. "You don't want me to get it, do you?" Boba asked. Din blinked, startled. Boba wasn't watching Din's face anymore. He was watching Din's hands. Was watching the way Din had curled his fingers into the sheets and was hanging on, white-knuckled. "Do you?" Boba repeated. Din swallowed. "You want me to be angry," Boba said. His voice had gone soft, almost contemplative. Din couldn't help but pull his shoulders up a little, defensive, vulnerable. Boba saw. "You want to be punished," Boba continued. His voice had dropped to barely more than a whisper, a hiss of wind over the top of the sands. Din didn't trust himself to speak, but he nodded once, jerkily. "Yes," he thought, the words burning at the back of his mouth. "Yes, I want to be punished. I lied, I broke a rule, I broke it 50 times over, I..." "Din," said Boba, still in that same deep, quiet, almost whisper. "I've already told you. I'm not going to punish you for breaking your creed." "I don't need you to punish me for breaking my creed," Din made himself say. His own voice was broken, thin, but he pushed past it. "I've already told you, you can't punish me for breaking the creed. Only someone else from my tribe can do that. Only a Vod like Paz or Annika or my Alor. You're..." Boba was more to Din than a brother or a sister. More than an Alor. But he had never taken Din's creed. He had never been Din's kind of Mandalorian. So he couldn't punish Din for breaking that creed. It wasn't Boba's responsibility. "So you just want to be punished for lying?" Boba asked. Din nodded again, still jerky. Boba went quiet and still. Din froze too. His heartbeat picked up. He searched Boba's face, hardly daring to believe, to think. "I'm not sure I can do that either," Boba finally said, slowly. "We never agreed to total honesty, Jarka, and you never lied to me outright. I never asked you if you were Mandoad. I just assumed." "And I let you assume," Din said. Disappointment knotted in his throat. "I let you assume." Boba inclined his head. "Maybe," he allowed. He shook his head a little, his expression distant. Let me think about it, he said. Din looked at Boba again, his heart still beating painfully fast. Think about it? Boba shrugged with one shoulder. He looked a bit like he wanted to tangle his hands into the sheets, too, like he wanted something to hold on to. Would it help you? Boba asked. Din blinked. If you were punished, Boba elaborated. If we dedicated a session to it, would it help you get past it? Punishment, it helps? Din asked. Boba shrugged again. It can, he said, for some. If you're guilty for breaking a rule, he said, and then you're punished for that rule, you can let go of that guilt because you've paid for it. Punishment can be like cutting rot out of a wound. It will hurt, Din murmured, understanding all at once. But then the wound can heal. Boba inclined his head. Din's heart was beating so fast it felt like Din was standing up against that pillar right now, waiting for a blow to fall across the meat of his shoulders, waiting for that pain to come and drive Din out of himself, waiting for that peace. Do you think it would help you? Boba asked again, softly. Think about it. Don't tell me what you think I want to hear. Din's immediate, instinctive response was to say, Kark, yes, because he wanted it. He wanted Boba to flog him again, to punish him. Din wanted to stop thinking about it, wanted to lay it all, the guilt he felt, the grief, to rest. But I don't want to make Boba do something he doesn't want to do, either, Din thought. I don't want to ask him for something that would help me, but hurt him. Din licked his lips, mouth dry despite his cup of tea. I don't know if it would help or not, said Din carefully. I like the idea of it, of getting to close that wound, but I'm not sure. I've never... Din trailed off. He'd never been punished before, not really, not as an adult. He'd been cuffed across the back of the head a few times as a young warrior in the covert, had been tossed into a river for swearing, had once been made to spend an entire night kneeling in front of the cold forge for picking a fight with Paz outside of the sparring ring. But he'd never been punished like Boba would punish him. I was sent to bed without dinner a few times as a kid, Din said. I've had my mouth washed out with Sludir soap. I had to kneel in front of the forge once for hours, but that's it. Boba was quiet for another minute. He's gonna refuse, Din thought, heart sinking. He's gonna say no. That was all right. Boba had the right to his boundaries. He'd told Din this arrangement wasn't one-sided. Boba got something out of it, too. And sometimes his partner would want something that Boba couldn't or wouldn't give. It's all right, Din told himself. It's all right. I'll figure something else out. I have to think about it, Boba finally said. It was not a denial. Din looked at Boba sideways again. His heart leapt up in his mouth. I have to think about it, Boba repeated. He grimaced. Probably not what you want to hear, Jerrica, but... No, Din said immediately. No, it's fine. It was better than fine. It was more than Din had expected. He took a deep breath and made himself say so. I know, Din said. You can take all the time you need. I understand. Boba's serious expression finally cracked some, a smile hooking up one corner of his mouth. Generous, he said, tone lightening too. I won't take forever about it, Jerrica. A few days, maybe, but I just need to think about it. Okay, Din said. He offered Boba a crooked smile back and finally let go of the sheets, flexing his fingers. His bat hand was sore. And sorry, Din added. Boba rolled his eyes. For what? For ruining your plans for a nice first meal in bed, for one, Din said. As he'd hoped, the light barb made Boba's smile more genuine. Ruined, said Boba, lighter than before. I wouldn't say ruined, Jericho. In fact... And Boba, almost faster than Din could react, moved. Come here, Boba growled, a laugh buried in his voice. And with a display of strength that made Din's heart kick in his chest, Boba leaned in, lifted Din by the hips, and set Din firmly into his lap. Din flushed. You haven't ruined anything at all, said Boba, sounding pleased. Din put his hands on Boba's chest. The Beskar was cool against his fingers. The texture of Boba's pants tickled against Din's bare legs. You're impossible, Din muttered. Boba grinned and let go of Din's hips, chucking Din gently under the chin. Gotta keep you on your toes, Jericho. Din huffed. He shifted experimentally in Boba's lap. It was a strange position to be in. Din had only been in Boba's lap the once, the first time he and Boba had properly fucked. Thinking about that, like this, made Din blush again, red spilling down his throat to his chest. They were even dressed like they'd been that first time. Boba in his armor, Beskar cool against Din's skin, and Din wearing nothing at all. Boba was remembering it too. Din could see it in him. Boba's pupils dilated. Hunger was plain in his face. Din felt his own body answering, his heart quickening, the places where Boba's body was touching his, Din's hips and his thighs and the corner of his jaw, tingled and grew warm. No, Boba repeated, thumbing Din's jaw. You haven't ruined anything at all. Even sitting in Boba's lap, Din was taller than Boba. He had to stoop his shoulders a little to do what he really wanted, which was to lean down and tuck his nose carefully against the column of Boba's throat. Boba ran a hand down Din's back. He wasn't wearing his gloves, so his skin pressed against Din's skin. It woke warmth all the way down Din's spine. How are you holding up? Boba asked, tracing his hand lower, finding one of the thumbprint bruises Boba had dug into Din's hip. Din couldn't help but shiver. I'm fine, Din said automatically. Boba chuckled. Din felt it vibrate against his cheek. Are you? Boba asked. Can I see? Din froze. See what? He asked warily. Boba hummed. My handiwork, he said. You mean, Din started, then trailed off. He knew what Boba meant. He didn't have to ask. Boba didn't have to ask again either. He let Din hide against his throat for a minute before Din finally, heart hammering, nodded. Boba made a deep, pleased noise. Let me see, then, he said. No need to be shy. There was plenty of reason to be shy, in Din's opinion, but his body was nothing that Boba hadn't seen before, hadn't had his hands on just a few hours ago, his mouth. So Din did as he was asked and shuffled out of Boba's lap a little, sitting back on the bed and spreading his legs so that Boba could see. So that Boba could see the bruises kissed and bitten into Din's chest, his hips, his thighs. So Boba could see the bruises around Din's ballsack, too, the broken capillaries, the sore, tender skin. Boba drank it all in with a hungry gleam in his eyes. His scrutiny made Din want to close his legs again, to hide. But that hunger made Din want to spread his legs wider, to let Boba come back in, to let him do whatever he wanted. As Boba watched, Din couldn't help but feel the desire beginning to pool low in his belly, the way his cock twitched and began to fill with blood underneath Boba's attention. Boba chuckled. Still up for more, even though you're sore, Jerka? He asked. His voice had a teasing lilt to it, but his expression was serious. Din hesitated. He licked his lips. More? Din asked. Boba shrugged. I'm up for it if you are, he said. Din tried not to squirm. He imagined Boba's hands wrapped around him again, a bruising grip on his hips, on the already swollen skin of his balls, and flushed. I don't know if I can handle more of what we did last night, right now, Din ventured cautiously. He needed to be able to walk. Boba hummed, his expression thoughtful. Fair, he said. His gaze was warm. Thank you for telling me. Wanna do something else? What do you have in mind? Din asked. He was willing. He'd do just about anything Boba asked him to. He'd proved that already. Last night, you asked if I wanted you to get me off, Boba said, his eyes glittering. I said no then. But are you up for it now? Din knew what Boba meant immediately. His mouth flooded with saliva. He couldn't help but flick a gaze down to Boba's groin. Boba was wearing pants, was wearing a chest plate and other bits of armor, even, but the shape of his interest was still apparent. He wants me to suck his cock, Din thought. He swallowed. Boba had indicated that he'd like that before. He'd said it to Din in the pool underneath Jabba's tower. Had said that he'd like to teach Din how to suck a cock properly. Yeah, Din said, his voice nearly cracking. He shifted a little. His skin was warming up, his own arousal building. Yeah, I could. I want to, he said. Boba studied him. You sure? He said. Din nodded. He was sure. He wasn't going to be very good at it, but he was sure that he wanted to try. That he was willing to try, anyway. Come here, then, Boba said, reaching out to help Din arrange himself. Boba propped himself back up against the wall as far as he could and spread his legs. With one hand, he beckoned Din in, and with the other, he undid the stays on his pants. When Boba's cock sprang free, hardening in Boba's hand, Din couldn't help but stare. I've had it inside of me, he reasoned. His mouth was wet. I can do this, too. Boba encouraged Din to inch up until he was practically in Boba's lap again, then had Din lie down flat on his stomach so Din could prop himself up against one of Boba's thick thighs. Din did as he was directed, nerves and excitement mounting. He licked his lips, anticipating. The position was a little awkward, but it wasn't bad. Boba stroked himself a few times and tangled his free hand in Din's hair. The pressure of it was good, grounding. Do I just... Din wondered, leaning in. He set his own hands on either of Boba's hips, felt Boba's stomach flexing underneath him, muscles shifting. Boba was excited, too. Do I just get started? He leaned in, cautiously opening his mouth, but was stopped by Boba's hand and his hair. Boba, Din started. Boba was pulling hard enough that white sparks of pain were flickering behind Din's eyes. Boba didn't relent. No, he repeated firmly. Ask me nicely. Din went so red with mortification that he thought he might die. His tongue was too heavy in his mouth. Anything he could have said died in his throat. Jerrica, Boba said, his voice rich with anticipation, with pleasure. I won't ask again. Ask me nicely. Din licked his lips. Boba let him. Please, Din said, unsteadily. Please what? Boba purred. Please, Din said. Can I suck your cock? Boba groaned like Din had punched him. That emboldened Din some, the confirmation that Boba wanted this, that Boba liked it, that Din was doing what he wanted. Please, Din repeated. The hand in his hair loosened. Yes, said Boba hoarsely. You can. Din leaned forward, but hesitated. He wasn't sure what to do, where to start. Boba's cock was proudly erect now, the head of it flushed dark. Din licked his lips again. Never sucked a cock before, Jerrica, Boba asked. His hand felt like a band of Beskar in Din's hair. Din looked up at him. He knew what Boba wanted him to say. I'm greedy, Boba had said last night. And I like having this part of you, any part of you, that no one else has had. He likes that I haven't done this before. No, said Din shyly. I haven't. Boba made a sound like a crate dragon growling, pleased and deep and visceral. But you want to. Din nodded. He did. Go on then, said Boba. Din's blush deepened, but he did as he was told. He didn't know what he was doing, but I can try to do what Boba did last night, he reasoned. If Din could mirror what Boba had done to him, he could probably figure this out. Boba seemed to be able to sense the direction of Din's thoughts because he chuckled darkly and used his hand in Din's hair to guide Din towards his cock. Just mind your teeth, Jerrica, Boba advised. You'll be fine. Boba's hand kept guiding Din down, gentle enough, but persistent, so Din let Boba take control of this, too, and opened his mouth. Boba let Din go slow. Din started like Boba had last night, though the kiss he pressed to the crown of Boba's cock was more nervous than anything else. The taste of skin filled Din's mouth. That was comforting, too. This was just another part of Boba's body. Din had gotten pretty familiar with Boba's body. This wasn't so strange. Din kissed Boba again, then experimentally ran his tongue over the head of Boba's cock. Boba groaned, guttural, but otherwise didn't move. His hand was tight in Din's hair. The taste of skin intensified, laid over something salty. Din pursued that taste, opening his mouth and taking the head of Boba's cock inside it. He ran his tongue over it again, enjoying the way Boba's hips twitched, the way Boba's hand tightened in his hair. The head of Boba's cock stretched Din's mouth wider than Din had thought it would. Boba'd made this feel easy, the way he'd taken Din into his mouth, into his throat. But Din was keenly aware of the way his lips stretched over Boba's cock, of how close his teeth were to skimming skin. Boba let Din get used to that. Din breathed shallowly through his nose, letting his mouth fill with saliva. The taste of salt and skin was almost overwhelming. The smell of Boba was dizzying. "Think you can take a little more?" Boba asked. His breathing was ragged. Din looked up at him through his eyelashes. His mouth was too full to speak. Boba was staring down at him, utterly rapt. His pupils were blown so widely they might as well have been black holes pulling Din in, catching him in their orbit. Slowly, carefully making sure he didn't jostle Boba with his teeth, Din nodded. The hand in his hair tightened to the point of pain. "Breathe through your nose for me, Jerrica," Boba said. He wrapped his free hand around the base of his cock and began to push himself, fractionally, deeper into Din's mouth. Din did his best to keep his jaw slack, his mouth open. Boba went slowly, which was good. It gave Din the time to adjust, to keep his breathing even as more and more of Boba's cock filled his mouth. "That's it," Boba murmured encouragingly, his eyes hooded. "Just like that, Jerrica." The endearment and the praise emboldened Din. He flicked his tongue up experimentally, tracing a vein along the underside of Boba's dick, and was immediately rewarded with a pleased hum. Boba kept pressing in, inch by slow inch, until his knuckles bumped Din's chin. His cock hadn't quite hit the back of Din's throat yet, but there were still 4 or 5 inches left where Boba had taken himself into his own hand. A tremor of apprehension went through Din. His mouth was already full. Boba was all he could taste, all he could smell. That there was more made Din's heart beat faster. His breath came in shallow gusts. Boba petted the back of Din's head gently, easing his grip a little. "Just like that," Boba repeated. He sounded almost drunk with desire, every word round and slow. "He likes this," Din told himself, trying to manage his fear. He opened his mouth wider, feeling the ache of it beginning to itch on either side of his jaw. This is what Boba wants. It was what Din wanted, too, if he was being honest with himself. In this position, he couldn't touch his own cock, but Din was hard, too, sensitive. Every shift and flex of Boba's hips echoed in Din's body. It was good. Frightening, new, but good. Boba made a deep, rumbling sound. His fingers tightened in Din's hair again. "Watch your teeth," Boba instructed, and began to inch himself out of Din's mouth. Din's brows furrowed, confused. Anxiety prickled through his chest. Was Boba not enjoying himself? Was this not what he wanted? But before Din could work himself up, before he could pull off Boba's cock entirely and ask what was wrong, Boba curled his hand in Din's hair like a band of Beskar and rolled his hips. His cock punched back into Din's mouth, Boba's knuckles bumping Din's chin. Din only kept himself from grazing Boba with his teeth by sheer force of will. Surprise and desire lit him up from the inside. Boba was still keeping one hand wrapped around his cock, preventing Din from getting the entirety of it in his mouth. But with the rhythm Boba quickly set, thrusting shallowly in and out of Din's mouth, it almost didn't matter. Din's breath stuttered. He'd been able to find a pattern when Boba had just been inching his cock bit by bit into his mouth, but this was something else. Din's vision narrowed, his throat spasmed. He didn't know if his body wanted to cough or choke. Boba kept up that pace, pushing in and pulling out, his knuckles knocking against Din's chin with every forward thrust. Din focused on keeping his teeth away from Boba's cock, on the smooth glide of it over his tongue. His eyes were watering, he could barely breathe. Boba didn't seem to care, keeping up his pace. It was good. Din's cock was leaking against Boba's sheets, against Din's stomach. The friction generated by Boba's thrusts, still shallow but forceful enough they jarred Din's whole body, danced across the soft skin of Din's upper thighs, his stomach. Pleasure began to build in his spine. Above Din, Boba growled. The sound of pleasure went through Din like a blaster bolt. He couldn't help but mirror it, moaning around Boba's cock. Boba swore. "Kark," said Boba. His hand in Din's hair had tightened past the point of pain. The grip of it was white and bright behind Din's eyelids. "Kark, Din!" He thrust again a few more times, the drag of his cock across Din's tongue so good that Din saw stars. "Think you can take more?" Boba asked again. His breath had shortened too, was coming in great pants like the bellows of a Beskar forge. Din nodded as best he could. He could take more. He wanted to take more. Boba chuckled, the sound rusty and deep. "Greedy," Boba said. The way he said it made him sound almost unbearably fond. "Come here, then." He finally took his hand away from his cock. The pace of his shallower thrust slowed. "Breathe," Boba advised. Din obeyed, opening his mouth enough to pant wetly and get air in past Boba's dick. "Orijate," said Boba, the praise quiet. Some small noise, a whine, another thin moan, built in Din's throat. He tried to smother it. Boba caught it anyway and said, more firmly, "Orijate, Jarka." Din's eyes fluttered closed. A dull blush colored his cheeks. I shouldn't be this affected, Din thought. Boba was just using Din's mouth to chase his own pleasure. Din wasn't even doing much. All he was capable of doing was keeping his mouth open. But Boba's praise shivered down his spine all the same, mad and mingled with a desire burning in his belly, with something raw and fragile building in Din's chest. One hand free now, Boba laid three fingers against the corner of Din's jaw. His hand and Din's hair had gentled again. "Jerka," Boba said. "Look at me." Din didn't want to. He didn't want Boba to see. But he'd given Din an order, and Din was no more able to resist obedience now than he'd been the first time Boba had called for him to come join him to come look at a map of the Jundland Wastes. Din opened his eyes. Boba was staring down at him with something just as raw in his expression, with wonder and hunger and bare desire. Boba pushed at the hinge of Din's jaw, almost experimentally, like he was testing how much farther Din could open his mouth. "Meshla," Boba said. Din's flush deepened. "Pretty." He couldn't... How could Boba think that this was pretty? Din didn't know what he looked like, but it couldn't be anything pretty. His lips felt swollen, his cheeks flushed and blotchy. He was sure that Boba could see how wet his eyes were. "Shallow breaths," Boba said, and that was Din's only warning before Boba started to press in again, deeper than before. He went slower this time, like he had before, feeding Din his cock inch by inch. Din tried to focus on the texture, on the taste. His heart was beating prey animal fast. Boba reached the point he had before, not quite brushing the back of Din's tongue, looked down at Din, and pushed in another shallow inch. Din's nostrils flared, his vision narrowed again. His throat spasmed, convinced that it was already choking. His jaw burned. "Meshla," Boba repeated, and his hips twitched again. His cock nudged deeper into Din's mouth, hit the back of his tongue, pushed past it. Din's vision swam. He tried to cough, but couldn't manage it. His head jerked, but Boba held him fast. He tried to close his mouth instinctively, but Boba wouldn't let him do that either. His fingers dug into the hinge of Din's jaw and forced it open. Din couldn't breathe. He clutched at Boba's hips desperately. He was dimly aware of the sounds he was making, wet, gasping, and even more dimly aware of how hard he still was, despite the instinctive panic clawing its way up his chest. The flickers of arousal, of pain and pleasure mingled together, as Boba held Din down and made him take it. Din made a high, thin sound. Boba groaned like Din had punched him, then thrust once, twice, and came down Din's throat with a choked-off cry. Din spluttered for a moment, shocked by the taste, salty and warm, a little bitter, maradwa, like the last dregs of tea at the bottom of the mug, and swallowed as best he could, though it was hard with Boba's cock still in his mouth. Boba let up on Din immediately, the fingers digging into the side of his jaw easing, the hand in his hair loosening. "Udesi," Boba soothed. His voice was wrecked, satisfied. "Udesi, Shari. Me dinui nihal." "Breathe with me," Boba translated when he saw Din didn't understand. "Me dinui nihal." Boba took in a deep, exaggerated breath. His order, even though it had been given in Mandoa, was still an order. Din did his best to obey, gulping in a breath. Boba eased himself out of Din's mouth and encouraged Din to rest his head against one of Boba's broad thighs. That was familiar, at least, so Din did it, tucking his nose into the curve of Boba's leg and forcing himself to take in another breath, trying to keep it as even as possible. "That's it," Boba encouraged. He pet soothing circles in Din's hair, gentling the places he'd pulled and tugged. Din was a mess. He knew he was. He felt his mouth still wet with saliva and the traces of Boba's release. Sweat sticky at his collarbones, along his spine. "All right?" Boba asked, his voice still rough. Din nodded against Boba's leg. "You sure?" "Yes," Din rasped. The word pried itself out of his throat. Boba's voice was rough, hoarse with pleasure, but Din's was rougher. He couldn't help but swallow, feeling the shape of Boba's cock still in his mouth, against his tongue. "Yeah, I'm all right." "Need a second?" Boba asked. Din nodded again. Boba hummed and kept up his petting. "Take your time," Boba said. "It's all right." It wasn't like coming down from a flogging. He hadn't found that floating place inside his own head, the quiet that felt like flying, with this. He wasn't drifting outside of his own body. If anything, Din was too aware of his own body, of the sweat on his neck, the drool on his chin, the heat still smoldering in his stomach, the ache in his own cock. But Din still appreciated a few minutes to try and wrangle his body under control, to parse his reaction. "I liked that," Din thought. He'd been afraid, but he liked it. Did I like it too much? What did it say about Din that he'd come this close to the edge of an orgasm just from letting Boba use Din's mouth the way that he wanted? Boba hadn't touched Din's cock at all, not this morning. Boba was content to let Din wrestle with himself. He kept up his contact, light and gentle, a sweet contrast to his earlier punishing grip. Gradually, Din was able to get himself back under control. His heartbeat slowed, his breath evened out, shifting from wet gasps to a more steady, regular rhythm. The sweat gathered on the back of Din's neck began to dry. "You did well," Boba said when Dan finally put his head back up and searched for Boba's face. He smiled down at Dan, that terrible affection back in his dark eyes. You sure you're all right? Fine, Din rasped. He reached up to wipe his chin, but Boba caught his wrist. Din blinked up at him. Let me? Cautiously, Din nodded. Boba made a pleased little sound that did nothing to ease the pleasure still coiled tight in Din's belly, and used the corner of one sleeve to gently wipe Din's chin. Din couldn't help but flush again. I can clean up in the fresher, Din mumbled. Boba chuckled. You can, he said. But I like this part, too. Din said, looking away. He couldn't meet the intensity in Boba's eyes. All right, then. Boba's chuckle deepened. Generous of you, he said, teasing. Din let Boba wipe the worst of the mess off his chin, smoothing down the edges of Din's beard. Due for another shave soon, said Boba. Din rolled his eyes and pushed himself up, gathering his legs underneath him to sit back a little. Are you gonna tell me I look like a straight bantha? He asked. I wouldn't go that far, said Boba, his eyes crinkling. He had some stubble, too, a faint band of it darkening his jaw, but his scarring was so extensive that Din wasn't sure Boba could even grow a full beard. Boba's gaze shifted. You want help with that, Jarka? He meant Din's still hard cock. Din flushed again and resisted the urge to grab one of Boba's sheets and pull it over his lap. No, Din said. I'm fine. Boba cocked an eyebrow. You sure? He said, tone suggestive. We could certainly take care of it, Jarka. Din shook his head. No, he said. He wasn't sure why he was sure that he didn't want Boba to finish this to help Din get off. But he didn't. Boba looked at Din steadily for a moment, then shrugged. If you're sure, he said. Din nodded. He liked that this had been about Boba's pleasure. Need another few minutes? Boba asked. Din shook his head. He was mostly steady now, his heart slow and even, and it was getting later in the morning. The thin gray light that had woken Din had given way to the oranges and pinks of dawn now, and the suns were clearing the horizon. The day was about to begin in earnest, and Din had things to do. Can I use your fresher? Din asked. He looked past Boba to the work table, where their breakfast had long gone cold. And then we can eat? Boba nodded agreeably. Of course, he said. Make yourself comfortable, Jarka. You want more mayam? Din nodded and untangled himself from Boba's bed. Boba, for once, made it easier. A lot of the time he seemed to like getting in Din's way, seemed to like keeping their skin pressed flush together. But this time he cleared out, left the bed, and helped Din regain his feet. He did pat Din's flank proprietorially, a wicked gleam in his eyes. But then he let Din disappear into the fresher without further petting or prodding. Din was grateful. He couldn't quite bring himself to look at his reflection in the mirror as he passed it. He caught a glimpse out of the corner of his eye, rumpled hair, a red mouth, but made straight for the sonic, which he turned on as high as he could bear and climbed into. The vibrations rattled away most of Din's accumulated sweat. When he was finished, Din's cock had softened enough that he felt like he could look Boba in the eye again. He paused over the sink to rinse his mouth out and work water through his hair and his beard, which probably did need a trim, and made his way back out into Boba's rooms. Boba had used the time Din had been in his fresher to strip the bed of its sheets and to lay out some clothes for Din. Boba himself was gone, probably out getting more calf and tea, so Din used the privacy to swap out the back-to-patch on his side. The wound was now just a raw pink scar, and would probably only need another day or two of Bacta, and to dress, quickly, tugging both the clothes Boba had left and his kuta back on, though he left his Beskar on the floor for now. When he was dressed, Din padded over to the work table and helped himself to breakfast. Their Yazda had gotten cold, but that was all right. Ushib included little fruits in it today, fresh purple stone plums and bright red blood seeds, and Din tucked in with gusto. Boba had fully woken his appetite. Boba didn't leave Din alone for long, either. He returned in another handful of minutes with two new mugs, one for Din and one for himself. Din took his red tea and drank half in one go, then went back to hunting down the last of the blood seeds out of his Yazda. Boba settled himself across from Din and did the same, tucking in. Within a few minutes, they'd both cleared their plates, finished their drinks, and were ready to face the rest of the day. Well, thought Din Riley, as ready as we can be. Despite the ease Din and Boba had found up here, there was likely to be plenty of chaos in the palace still. "What do you need from me today?" Din asked, standing up and going over to his pile of armor, fitting it on piece by piece. "What's the goal? Are we hitting back at Gorga?" "Not today," Boba said. "Not till Fennec's back on her feet." Din nodded. That made sense. "I'm gonna stay here today," said Boba. "Start on repairs, pay our Rodian friend a visit." "You want me to stay too?" Boba thought about it for a minute. "Let's go downstairs," he said decisively. "I want your opinion on a few things. Then we can figure out where to send you hunting." A little thrill went through Din at that. Hunting. Boba did have something for Din to do, then. Some way Din could help. "I need to talk to Vizsla before I go anywhere," Din warned Boba. Boba grimaced, but didn't argue. "Come on, then," Boba said. "Better get to it." He finished armoring up, too, fitting his helmet over his face as Din was tugging his own on. Din checked to make sure that his armor wasn't compromised. He hadn't fixed the hole in his kuta yet, but the rest of his armor was sound. He strapped his weapons back on, spear and blaster and darksaber, the knife in his boot. Everything was in working order. Boba waited for him to finish armoring up, checking his own kit, and then when Din was ready, they left the room together, climbing into the lift and making their way down to the throne room. For the first time, when Din left the lift at Boba's side, he found a guard at the door. He didn't recognize this one, a female Twi'lek with dark green skin and only one scarred leku, but Boba clearly did. She had a blaster in her hands and armor on, and she saluted when Din and Boba passed. "Stepping up security," Din murmured, as he and Boba made their way down the long hall between Boba's private lift and the one in Jabba's old tower. Boba inclined his head. The rising suns caught the edge of his Beskar and lined him with fire. "Seemed prudent," he said, "since we still don't know how Gorgas Merks got in the first place." Din couldn't argue with that. There was another guard at the bottom of Jabba's lift, this one a human with a shock of blue hair, and there were two more stationed down the hall towards the throne room. "I've called some of our people back from patrols," Boba explained. "Mos Pelgo's still got a full crew, but I've drawn back from Mos Espa and Mos Eisley a little. Just until we're sure the palace is secure again." Din nodded, and he and Boba stepped into the throne room together. "So, how bad is it, really?" Din asked, looking around. The palace itself looked fine, sturdy, still standing. The throne room was scuffed and scorched. Most of the furniture, the chairs and tables and booths where Boba's visitors had gathered after court or while waiting for their turn before the throne, was in splinters. There was a large black scorch mark marring the middle of the floor. The walls were splashed with blaster burns and worse. But the bones of the palace were still strong. The ceiling hadn't caved in, the floor hadn't given way. All the walls were still standing. If the hunter-killers outside had had more time, their pilots probably would have done their best to bring the whole sprawling building down, but Kreese hadn't given them the chance. She was bound to be good for something, Din thought. Then winced, hating how ungenerous he sounded about an ally. It wasn't... Kreese hadn't come to throw a spanner in Din's plans. She hadn't come to ruin Din's life here, to snap at Boba, to cause problems. She has a quest. Boba, unable to see Din's face and his thoughts now that Din had put his helmet back on, shrugged. "Could be worse, anyway," he said. "We haven't interrogated the survivor yet, but I'd guess their orders were to kill, not destroy." Din nodded and pulled his thoughts away from Kreese. "That makes sense, especially if Gorga wants to rule from the palace like Jabba did. Or even if he wants to put someone else here to rule for him, Din thought, surveying the destruction in the throne room. The palace was recognizable the desert over as Jabba's palace. Even someone like Cobb Vanth, who'd faced down a crate dragon, had been afraid to set foot in here. I was afraid to come here, Din thought. Everyone on Tatooine knew that the palace was where Jabba's enemies had gone to die. Boba had only had it for a few months, after all. Jabba had ruled from this room for hundreds of years. Gorga will want to take it back for himself. If they were supposed to kill, you'd think that Gorga would have sent more mercs, Din observed. He himself had killed at least 7. Fennec and Boba had probably killed about the same each. Din hadn't been able to count exactly how many mercs had flooded the palace, but it couldn't have been more than 20 or 30. That's not so many, Din thought, not to attack a fortified location, a place that Boba had spent time and credits defending. 30 or 40 mercs would have been enough to overwhelm Din, Boba, and Fennec on their own, especially if they'd been in Mos Eisley or the Great Dune Sea, if they'd been someplace without fortifications. But Boba had dozens of guards and employees now. Why didn't Gorga attack you sooner? Din wondered. He looked at Boba, who cocked his head. Din could imagine him frowning, brow furrowing, and thought. The first time I came here, the outfit was just you, Fennec, Nura, a few hunters. You would have been easy to overrun. Easier, Din added when Boba shifted like he was offended. Fennec's got a theory about that, Boba said gruffly. About why Gorga let Bib Fortuna run the slice of Jabba's empire into the ground, but started to stick his tail in when Fennec and I showed we were serious. Din frowned. He hadn't thought of that. Jabba had been dead for years. He'd died right around the time the Empire had started to collapse, 5, 6 years ago. Did Bib Fortuna step up right after Jabba died? Din asked. Didn't even wait for the old worm's body to stop twitching, from what I hear, said Boba sourly. Din's frown deepened. And Gorga and the rest of the Hutts just left Fortuna in charge? Did he pay them off or something? Not that I can tell, said Boba. Fortuna kept kark-awful accounts. It's hard to tell exactly where all his credits went, except that they went out and didn't come back in. But I didn't see anything regular, though, like protection payment. Do you think it was because Bib Fortuna wasn't competition, then? Din asked. If Fortuna had been so bad at running the outfit that he'd turned Jabba's operation, profitable with hardly any effort on Jabba's part by the end, into a sinkhole, had the other Hutts been content to just let him run up his debts? That's my theory, Boba allowed, shrugging again. Shan's got some idea that Gorga owed Fortuna a favor or two. Fortuna handled most of Jabba's slaving, he added when he saw Din tilt its head in confusion. He had a reputation for difficult acquisitions and for client satisfaction. Din's stomach twisted. Fortuna supplied Gorga with Gorga's favorite slaves, you mean. This was Tatooine, after all. Half the planet lived in chains, or at least it had before Jabba had died. Boba inclined his head. That's what the Jurika around the palace was when we got here, he said. The real answer is probably somewhere between the two. Gorga probably did owe Fortuna a favor or two, and it wasn't like Fortuna was making any clink on his own. If I were the Hutt Council, I would have just left him to dig himself a sarlacc pit of debt, too, then come in later with an offer to buy him out. Or a blaster. Could have gone either way with the Hutt Council. But you are turning profit, Din murmured, more to himself than Boba. Boba snorted. It's not hard to turn more of a profit than Fortuna, Boba said. I can at least do basic math. Din rolled his eyes. That's not what I meant, and you know it, Din said, without much heat to it. He looked around the throne room again and tried to imagine himself as a Hutt, as a boss with 300 or 400 years behind him, with a reputation to maintain, an empire, even a small one, to rule. With a grudge, Din thought. How'd Jabba get on with the Hutt Council when you worked for him? Din asked. Boba cocked his head again. Not particularly well, said Boba slowly. But not terribly, I don't think. Jabba had power over the rest. Blackmail, favors they owed him, that sort of thing. The Hutt Council was always a nest of spit vipers, though. He got along with Gorga? Boba cocked his head to the side. You know, he said. I don't know. Could be an angle to check out. Do you think, what, Gorga's trying to get one over on Jabba's memory? Or more status over the others on the Hutt Council, Din said with a shrug. It's as good a motivation as any. If Gorga was waiting for Fortuna to either come crawling to him for help or catch the business end of a blaster, he'd probably be pretty upset that you came in and disrupted his plans. Boba nodded slowly. Even more upset that me and Fennec had this place making good clink again in just a month or two. I could buy that. Gorga wanted to step in and take over without much effort. Get the outfit turned back around, prove to the rest of the Hutt Council that Gorga was ready to play with the big bosses. But then you got in his way, Din said. Took out Fortuna, settled in. If Gorga had been prepared for an easy acquisition, he wouldn't have had many mercs on hand anyway. He had to build up his forces, Bubba said, nodding along. And Fennec's been keeping an eye on the merc market. There's not many quality mercs around right now, not for the price Gorga'd want to pay. So he had to scrimp a little. He couldn't attack us right away because he didn't have anybody to attack us with. He's certainly not going to get his tail dirty fighting in the trenches like Yumi and Chandwell. He might be more willing than you think, Din thought, looking at the wreckage of the throne room. The walls were still sturdy, the floor, the ceiling, the palace itself. If Tatooine sandstorms hadn't brought Jabba's palace down, Din didn't think that much would. But Gorga was willing to kill. Boba had only lost a few of his people, but they'd been lucky. If Gorga's mercs had attacked an hour earlier, when the throne room had been packed, dozens would have died. That Gorga's mercs had been crushed with only a few casualties on Boba's side was more luck than any measure of Boba's outfit's skill. You said that Fennec had a theory, said Din, thinking hard, about why Gorga let Fortuna do what he wanted, but took offense when you stepped up. What is it? Boba shrugged. Fennec thinks that Gorga and Fortuna were in on it together, he said. That there was some kind of agreement between them. Fortuna gets to keep the palace and the lifestyle. Gorga got the profits. But you said there weren't any profits. Din frowned behind his helmet. Boba lifted a shoulder. That we could find, he said. I don't know, doesn't make much carking sense to me, but then none of this does. He swept a hand out, indicating the throne room, the damage and destruction, the blood that had been spilled. Why attack me in the evening after court was done? Boba said. Why pay mercs to come in here? Gorga knows my reputation. It'd be safer to bomb this place from orbit. Din chewed his lip thoughtfully. So, what do you want me to do? He asked. He was willing to help. Eager to help, even. It wasn't Din's home, exactly, but it was as close to a home as he'd ever find. Yaimla, Boba had said. My people are here, Din thought, and Gorga attacked them. First thing I think we'll be checking in with Fennec, Boba said. If she's awake, she might be able to give you a better direction. If she's not, once you're done talking to the Verdike, I want you in Mos Eisley, Boba said. Din nodded. He could do that. Who am I looking for? Go to Bubiska again, Boba said. You remember it? Din did. The dingy cantina where he'd told Boba he'd be going off to see the Jedi. A pang went through Din. He still hadn't gone to visit Grogu again. He'd told the kid that he would, but he just hadn't managed it. Too much is going on, Din thought. There's been too much else to worry about. Guilt still twisted low in his stomach. Soon, he promised himself. Promised Grogu, even though the kid was parsecs away and had no way of hearing Din. I'll come visit soon, once I know the palace is safe, that Paz and the others are safe. About the Verdike, Din said slowly. I want to move them. To Muspelgo? Din nodded. Makes sense, said Boba. One less thing to worry about here. If you can get them to go, I can send someone with them to make sure they get to Muspelgo, okay? Kasik, maybe. Mandalorians and Wookiees usually get along. Thank you, said Din, relieved. I'll go check in with Fennec, check in on the Verdike, then go to Mos Eisley. What am I looking for at Bubisca? It was a hot front, right? Right, Boba confirmed. And I don't know what you're looking for. Anything out of place, I guess. We need to find out how Gorga got mercs on planet, where they came from, if there are more waiting for us to put our guard down. Din nodded. He could do that, too. Where will you be? He asked. Here, Boba promised. I won't be long, then, Din said. He resisted the urge to reach out and touch Boba, to press his gloved hand against Boba's hip or his wrist. I don't want to make him look weak, Din thought. He kept his hands to himself. Where's Fennec? Din asked. The infirmary? Should still be, unless she wants to risk winding Ushiba, Boba said. Retrushi me, then. Ret, said Din, remembering his lessons. He left Boba there in the throne room and made for the infirmary, which was a few floors down, between the throne room and the kitchens. There were more guards than Din had ever seen before in the hallways. Boba and Fennec usually went out of their way to keep the guards out of sight. Neither of them wanted the palace's guests to feel like they'd stepped into Jabba's palace, which had bristled with Gamorreans and security droids and worse. This many armed, unfamiliar faces so close after a raid put Din on edge. He was glad he'd taken the time in Boba's rooms to armor back up to secure all of his weapons. Watchfulness prickled down his back. There were even two guards in front of the infirmary doors. Din nodded to both of them, and they let him pass without any trouble. Everyone in the palace, it seemed, knew Din, even if he didn't know them. Inside the infirmary, several makeshift rooms had been rigged up with gauzy curtains pulled around each bed to create the illusion of privacy. Ushib wasn't here, but T-6, Kreese's medical droid, was. He was working on a young man Din didn't recognize. The man was unconscious. T-6 was cutting away sections of burned skin from a nasty-looking blaster wound. Din averted his eyes and kept moving. Din found Fennec in a bed at the end of the room. She was awake this time, propped up against several pillows. The gashes on her face had been closed. She was a mess of back to patches and bruises. Din winced. Fennec looked up, caught it, and scowled. I'm fine, Fennec grunted. Din wisely held his tongue, choosing to take a seat at Fennec's side instead of saying what he thought. She didn't look fine. She looked like she'd been run over by a bladeback, like she'd tip over with the slightest breeze. Din had never thought of Fennec as fragile before. The way she carried herself made her seem untouchable, unflappable. Even when she'd been in binders at Din's feet before Toro Calican had shot her and gone for Din instead, Fennec had been cool and distant and unbothered. She didn't look untouchable or unflappable now. She looked like... She looks like me, Din thought. Like the glimpses Din has sometimes gotten of himself in the Razor Crest's cramped fresher after a job. Exhausted bruises pressed underneath his eyes, blood in his hair. Fennec looked human. She doesn't need to hear that from me, though. You, Fennec asked after a moment, softening a little when she realized that Din wasn't going to call Pudu over the healing cuts on her face, the bruise pressed at her temple. Fine, Din said. He patted his side. Healing, too. You take a hit? A few, Din admitted, deciding that he really didn't want to get into the business of being impaled with Fennec. He'd checked the injury just a few hours ago, anyway. It was mending. Boba's Bacta was the Imperial-grade kind, the kind that came straight out of Thyfera without passing through four or five different owners and getting more and more diluted each time it changed hands. Din would be good as... Well, not new, he thought to himself. Din had broken too many bones, gotten shot too many times. But... Back in fighting shape, anyway. Fennec grunted. And Boba? Took fewer hits than either of us, Din reported. He hovered his hand a little higher up by his chest to show Fennec where Boba had been bruised. That big Deveronian got a good punch in, but Boba's fine. His Beskar held up. Fennec finally relaxed some at that, slumping back against her pillows. Good, she said. Ushib said he came to visit, but apparently I've been unconscious for a while. Din winced. He'd been there. He's fine, he repeated. Everyone's... well, not everyone's fine, but most of us are. Nora told me, Fennec muttered. She fixed her eyes on the ceiling. And that we bloodied Gorgas Karki nose, so... she's upset. Din could understand that, too. Fennec took the palace's security very seriously. It was her job. Maybe it was a bad idea to bring up the job right now. If T6 wouldn't declare Din as fighting fit for another few days, Din doubted he'd clear Fennec any faster. She was on medical rest and would probably stay on medical rest for a while. But she's like me, Din reasoned. Bad at sitting still. So he leaned forward, bracing his elbows on his knees, and looked at Fennec. She looked back. Despite the quantity of painkillers she must have been on, Fennec's dark eyes were clear and sharp. She was paying attention. We were surprised, Din said quietly. How? Fennec scowled. I intend to find out, she said. That many mercs, that shouldn't have been able to get all the way to the throne room without passing a guard pair. They shouldn't have been able to even make planetfall without us hearing about it. But none of my sensors went off. No one was killed before those... And she broke off in a language Din had never heard before. I don't need to speak it, he thought, faint amusement breaking through the anger burning low in Din's belly, to know what she's saying. Some things were universal. The tips of Din's ears were itching underneath his helmet. Made it to Boba, Fennec finished. Switched back to basic once she'd excised some viciousness. Do we know how they got in? Fennec shook her head. Din frowned thoughtfully. We'll start there, then. They came into the throne room through the stairs, but that doesn't mean they got into the palace through the front door, or even the back door. I want to know how they even got on planet, Fennec growled. We've got some dark spots, Moskamos, Mosila, but even if they'd landed there, someone should have seen them coming in over the desert. Who runs Moskamos and Mosila? Valerian? Fennec shook her head. She talks like she runs half the planet, said Fennec, and she's got a few toeholds outside of Mos Entha, but she really only runs Mos Entha and its spaceports. She doesn't need much else. Taxing tolling the spaceports makes her plenty rich. So who runs those towns if it's not us and it's not Valerian? Gorga? Gerdula? Moskamos is lawless, said Fennec. Mosila, it's not formally Hutt territory, but Gerdula owned a handful of cantinas there back in the day. It's got a decent spaceport, too. But they'd have to cross the Dune Sea to get from there to here, Din muttered, thinking hard. How many Tusken tribes does Boba have signed on? Formally, just the Spotted Anuba and the Sun Rock through Mos Pelgo, Fennec said. But we're on friendly terms with the Shaking Mountain and the Banded Crate. They've both got territory between us and Mos Ila. They have any way to let us know there's an invasion on the way? Din asked. Having eyes in the desert was well and good, but Tuskens didn't use comlinks at the Holonet. They've got talking drums, Fennec said. The Shaking Mountain tend to stick together in one big tribe, but there are dozens of Banded Crate bands. If one of them had seen anything, they would have drummed it out. Din frowned. Drummed it out faster than a raid could get here? Fennec inclined her head, conceding the point. They didn't all come in shuttles, she pointed out. We would have heard them otherwise. Din nodded. Transport ships weren't quiet. Din and Fennec might not have heard an incoming transport from the throne room, full as it was these days with music and noise, but one of the palace guards definitely would have heard a transport. They had to have staged an attack somewhere, Din said. No one trudges 10 clicks through the Dune Sea with armor and heavy equipment unless they have to, so... where? Something itched in Din's memory. Jalto, Din said slowly. Fennec cocked her head, confused. He's dead, she said. Din had figured that. He'd known, bringing Xolto in from the desert, that the Zygerian had been unlikely to leave Boba's palace alive. "I know," Din said. "But he ran for the Junlin Canyons. We thought he was trying to get to Mos Espa, and maybe he was, but what if he wasn't?" Fennec blinked. "You think he was trying to meet someone there?" Din shrugged. "Could be," he said. "I wouldn't set up a pickup point in the canyons, especially not during Bantha migration, when I knew that the canyons would be full of hunting Tuskens, but I know Tatooine pretty well. Xolto didn't. If they came out of the canyons, they'd still have to cross part of the Dune Sea," Fennec pointed out. "They would, but it's a smaller part, half a day's ride or less. If they came on speeders, dressed like smugglers or moisture farmers on their way to town, then switched to tactical gear in the ridges around the palace somewhere." "No one would have thought that anything was strange," Fennec said, understanding. Her eyes narrowed. "Moisture farmers go to Mos Eisley all the time." Din rubbed his jaw, thinking hard. "I'll go take a look at the ridges," he decided. "From a good height," he added when Fennec grimaced. "If we can figure out where they came from, maybe we can figure out how Gorga's been getting mercs on planet without anyone noticing." "Just be careful," Fennec grumbled, leaning back against her pillows. "If you end up in the bed next to mine, I'm not going to be very happy." "I'll be careful," Din promised. "You better be," Fennec said. She shook her head. "I don't like this, Jaren," she said. "We're missing something. There's something we're not seeing." "You think it's whoever's spying on us?" Din asked. "That's part of it," Fennec said. "I've been all over this palace, Jaren. There's always spies in an operation like this. That's fine, expected. But this... I don't know how Gorga is getting some of his information. How did his people know to attack you on the sand road? How'd they know who Ushib was?" Din shook his head. "I don't know," he said. He chewed the inside of his cheek. "Spycraft's not... it's not my area of expertise." Fennec softened. "No," she said, "it wouldn't be." "I'm already going to Mos Eisley for Boba," Din said, "to check out Bubiska, see if anyone around has heard anything about Gorga making a move. The Jundlin Wastes aren't far. If Gorga staged his mercs out of the canyons, they'll have left signs. I can check, at least."
"And leave the spy work to me?" Fennec asked, dry.
Din shrugged, feeling a little sheepish. It was strange to admit that there was something Din couldn't do. He was used to being able to figure just about anything out if he had enough time. He could probably learn some spycraft, some flight work. But we don't have a lot of time.
Every day they went without knowing what Gorga was planning was another day they were vulnerable to a second raid, to a more serious attack. Kryze wasn't hanging around in the atmosphere anymore. If Gorga came with more ordnance... Din shook himself a little, trying to banish any of his more fatalistic thoughts. "It's not what I'm good at," Din said. "I'm Baroya. I hunt."
Fennec inclined her head. "I'll double down here, then," she said. "There's still a thing or two I can do from this bed." Din nodded. He hated this feeling, that he was missing something. It itched at him, burrowed underneath his skin. He sighed. "We won't get caught by surprise again," he said. Fennec scowled. "We can hope, anyway," she said. She and Din passed another few minutes exchanging information. Fennec wanted more reassurance that both Boba and Din were all right, and Din wanted to know more about what she thought of the relationship between Fortuna and Gorga the Hutt, but she didn't have anything Din hadn't already heard. Finally, Din stood again, said his goodbyes, promised to be careful, too, and to keep his tracking fob on him so that Fennec could find him if Gorga's people decided to go for Din while he was alone, and made his way towards the back of the palace, to the abandoned wing Paz and the others had been living in since Din and Boba had rescued them from Arcanus. Strill was still guarding the door, like Boba had said. She tensed visibly when Din appeared at the end of the hallway, but she didn't shoot him. She let him approach. "Orivod," she called softly. Din's heart twisted. "Big brother." "You don't have to call me that," Din said, coming to a stop a few feet away from her. She looked fine.
Better than fine, even. Of all the people Din had interacted with today, Strill looked the best. Her bandaged leg was fully healed. Her armor was still scuffed and dented, its crisp black paint chipped in several places. But she hadn't picked up any new dents or scuffs that Din saw, and she hadn't picked up any new injuries, either. Strill just shrugged. Habit, she said, though she didn't sound very confident. She looked Din up and down, critically. You okay? Zhag said you were in the thick of it yesterday. I'm all right, Din assured her. He was touched by her concern. Din wasn't Strill's tribe, not anymore. She had every right to hate him, to try and kill him. At the very least, she had the right to pretend that Din wasn't there, that he didn't exist. That she was willing to talk to him. How's Zhag? Din asked, before he could lose his grip on his emotions. He came to fight. We appreciated his help. He's all good, Strill promised. Her voice had lightened some, lost a bit of its edge. Was thrilled to get to punch something, to be honest. He's not so good at the stick-around-in-one-place thing. Din smiled faintly. It's hard for young warriors, he said. Strill huffed. You're telling me, she muttered. Between him and the kids. She caught herself, but it was too late. Din's smile couldn't help but widen. Finally figured out they were sneaking out, did you? Strill snorted. They're worse than Lothcats, she grumbled, always getting into everything. You the one that's been looking out for him while they wandered around? Din nodded. Strill softened further. Din saw her do it, her shoulders slumped a little, the last of her defensiveness fading. Thanks, she said grudgingly. Din inclined his head. It was what he'd do for any foundling. So why are you here? Strill asked, cocking her head to the side. Just checking in. We're all fine. Well, Paz is grouchy. He's not ever going to be able to walk right again, Babu Ushib said. But he keeps trying, and it hurts. Din winced. He thought... Boba had said that Paz was on his feet again. Pushing himself too far, Din thought, just like when we were kids. He took a deep breath. I'm glad you're all right, he said sincerely. The kids okay? They're all right, she assured him. It's not the first raid they've gone through, and this time nobody even made it to us. Mirda was on high alert last night, but Took and Kieran finally got her to go to bed a little bit ago. That's good, said Din. He hesitated, but there was no point in beating around the bantha. He made himself say it. I need to talk to Paz, Din said, and to you and your brother. Strill froze. To Paz, but... He said he'd try and kill me the next time he saw me, I know, said Din. He grimaced. He can even try once he's got his strength back. If he gets it back. But I still need to talk to him. It's important. Why? Din studied her. Strill was only a kid still, a Verdika. But she's Mandalorian, Din thought. I can't keep this from her. I promised Kryze, and more than that, If there's going to be a gathering of Mandalorians, he thought slowly, then my people deserve to know about it too. They deserve to be there, to be heard, to meet others, to realize that there are more of us, that we're not alone. It's about other Mandalorians, Din said evenly. Strill was silent. Paz said he'd kill you, she finally said. Her voice was young and small. He said it was his duty. Din nodded. He feels that way, he said. Is it my duty? Strill asked him. It was Din's turn to freeze in place. I don't know, he said. He knew it probably wasn't the answer that Strill wanted, but it was the only answer Din could give her. I can't tell you what your duty is. You're not from my covert. And you have to make your own decisions, too. I broke the creed. I'm Darmanda. But I'm not a danger to the tribe. Strill looked at him. Din couldn't help but wonder again what she looked like underneath her helmet, how young she really was. No, Strill said. You're not. Din relaxed. Paz will make his decision, he told her. All you can do is make yours. She nodded. I won't try to kill you, she said. You're Niorivod. Maybe not a Mandalorian anymore, but you still look out for the kids, she said. That's good enough for me. Din blinked, affection welling up in his chest. I don't deserve that, he thought. He had broken his creed. He didn't deserve Strill's loyalty. But it was good to have it anyway. To know that Strill, at least, wouldn't go for Din, that he wouldn't have to worry about her sticking a knife in his back. What about other Mandalorians? She pressed. I'd like to tell you all at once, if I can, said Din. Can you check with Paz? Is it all right if I come in? I'll leave as soon as I've told you what I came to tell you. Strill studied Din for a moment, then nodded. Can you watch the door? She said. I can, Din promised. She left him in the hall, disappearing back behind the door. Din took up a guardsman's post outside of it, his back to the wall, facing down the hallway. He tried not to be nervous, tried to push down his feelings, that grief, that guilt again, that mourning, and think about something else, anything else. He didn't have to wait very long. Strill poked her head out of the door again. One of the foundlings, the tallest one, the girl, Kieran, was at her elbow. Kieran here's gonna stand watch, Strill said. You can come in. Paz agreed, Din asked, surprised despite himself. He'd hoped, but I hadn't hoped for much, he thought, wryly. He swore a little about it first, Strill admitted, sounding apologetic. But yeah, you can come in. Din nodded, trading positions with Kieran, who looked up at him curiously as he passed, and stepped cautiously through the doorway. Strill stood back and gave him room. Din blinked a few times, his visor adjusting to the light. This wing was arranged kind of like a Tatooinean settlement. The door Din had walked through opened up onto a covered courtyard, with half a dozen rooms or other hallways branching off in different directions. Din saw Zhaig immediately. The big Mandalorian was leaning against a wall, watching Din intently. Despite his scrutiny, Din didn't feel any hostility coming from Zhaig, just curiosity. He fought with us, Din reminded himself. Zhaig had come to help drive off Gorga's mercs. Din looked around, stepping further into the courtyard. He didn't see either of the other two foundlings, but Strill had said that the smallest one, Myrda, was sleeping. The boy, Took, had a broken arm the last time Din had seen him. He hoped the kid was feeling better. Paz, Din called, taking another step into the courtyard. He saw Strill out of the corner of his eye, saw Zhaig waiting a few yards away, but he didn't see Paz. Nivod, Din thought, my brother. He crossed into the middle of the courtyard, looking around. The Verdike had done a good job sweeping the place up, making it tidy. There was a little cook fire in one corner, a cleared section of floor to practice spars and forms, even a makeshift weapons rack where the older Mandalorians had stored all of their gear. Paz? Din called again. He wasn't sure if Paz wanted Din to call him Vizsla now, since they were no longer brothers, but Din hadn't been able to ask. Din turned to Zhaig. Where's... he began, but didn't get to finish. All of the hair on the back of Din's neck stood up. He registered the sound of clanking armor, the sound of heavy footfalls, Strill shouting, and half-turned. Paz Vizsla slammed into Din from the side, hitting him with all the force of a charging mudhorn, and threw Din hard to the ground.